Dear friends, people say it a lot of different ways. They say, forget the past. Set your sights only on the future. People say, don't worry about yesterday. Plan ahead for tomorrow. They say, Pat, the past is dead and gone. The future is alive with hope. Worry not about mistakes you've made. Focus on opportunities ahead. And all of those statements sound true, and they're great. Though most of us know that our past influences the future. Tomorrow is filled with fruit from the seeds planted yesterday. We do reap what we sow. Whether it's a promise kept or a mistake made, whether it's a milestone marked or a tragedy struck, whether it is healing we are blessed with or if pain still lingers, our yesterdays affect our tomorrows and even today. And so then how do we live up to what is written in Philippians 4 verse 13 that was read, which says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Whatever the what is that me, might need to forget, it seems to me these words from the Apostle Paul give us three important, though not easy, steps. Whatever it is that we need to forget what is behind so we can strain ahead, we need to deal with it. We need to die to it. And we need to discover God's purpose in it. With whatever the what is, we might need to forget. Nowhere in the Bible does it suggest we are able to or should ignore our pasts. As a matter of fact, even the Apostle Paul speaks of something haunting him his whole life, what he calls in another book of the Bible, his thorn in the flesh, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says there, three times I pleaded with God to take that away from me, but God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, we don't know exactly what it was that Paul wanted all his life to be rid of. People have guesses, but probably wasn't an actual thorn in his flesh. But something from his past, likely, that seemed to linger, and at times it would bring him to his knees before God. How could this be the same person writing, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead? Because Paul is someone who does deal with his stuff. Even better, deals with it with God. Gets down on his knees with God about it. Doesn't pretend to have it all together. Don't forget verse 12, what was read this morning from Philippians 3. Not that I've already obtained all this or been made perfect. And this is something so critical for the Christian witness. We're not called to show perfection. We're not expected somehow to have everything together. We're not supposed to pretend about our faith. And that's probably one of the Christian's biggest temptations and the way in which we can cause the most problems for the cause of Jesus. That somehow we think we have arrived spiritually, or at least it's our job to make it seem that way. And sometimes that even gets reflected in saying we are better than people down the road. We are better than a different church. We are better than a different religion. We are better than a people of different color. Wrong. Incredibly wrong. And incredibly misrepresenting Christianity and the reason Jesus comes into the world in the first place. The Christian witness instead says this: God gives us a way in Christ to deal with our stuff. Whatever Paul's thorn in the flesh was, God gives him a way forward in Christ. Says, my grace is sufficient for you. The world that we live in sends an opposite and very unhelpful message that at times the church can get caught up into as well. It says, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow you die. Get what you can while you can. Whatever happens in Vegas, I know you don't want to say it. Or maybe you do. It sends the message that whatever happens to us, at the very least, doesn't affect our future. And at the worst, it doesn't matter because, well, we really don't have much to look forward to anyway. And somewhere in between, we're fed the lie that we can hide what happens to us or cover up and not have to deal with our stuff. And that seeps even into, it's from our culture, but it seeps into the Christian life. It can seep into the church. But the truth is, whatever happens in Vegas, it's probably more accurate to say whatever happens in Vegas stays in your soul. Or whatever happens anywhere. And it needs to be dealt with. The good news of the Bible is there's a way to deal with our stuff. Paul has been talking about what it means to come clean before God and before each other. And actually, later in chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, he mentions a problem between two women. Their names are Eudoia and Syntyche. Chapter 4. He mentions a problem between two women who are causing tension in this Philippian church. And it's likely, quite likely, that all three chapters ahead of this is Paul setting the stage to help this church deal with a painful problem among them rather than ignore it or hope that it somehow just fades away. But this isn't just for church. What about you and I? Do you have something from your past? Maybe a painful reminder of hurt or something that just haunts you? Your own thorn in the flesh? Something which keeps getting you down? You don't have to pretend it's not there. You can bring it to God in prayer. You can perhaps share it with people you trust. And isn't the church a place where we ought to have or find those types of relationships? You can hopefully find a community of faith that accepts you not because you've lived a perfect life, but instead you've stopped pretending that you can. This is what is good about the news of Christianity, that there's a way to deal with our stuff. That there is a way to move forward. But after dealing with it, though, and that takes sometimes a long while, we also do need to die to it. Christians aren't people that dwell on the past. That also, very obviously, doesn't help us move forward. Paul writes, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. As the Bible tells it, Jesus claims us by dying for us. That's how Jesus takes hold of us. He pays for our sins. The Bible uses the word redeem, which means to buy back. We were God's children, made in God's image, but sin shattered that image. And in Jesus' death and his payment of sin, he washes us whiter than snow. He buys us back. He redeems us again, makes us like God's image again. And the best way to do our part to show that we belong to Jesus is to die to our sin as well. It's a different kind of holding on, that's for sure. It's not a clinging to the past kind of taking hold of. It's a surrendering kind of taking hold of. You see, in the Christian life, when you say, I surrender, that's when you win the war. When we say, I surrender, is when we take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of us. When we say surrender is when we admit that we can't fix our stuff on our own. When we say surrender is when we give up our arguments, our rationale, our defenses, our excuses. When we say, I surrender, is when the battle is over and we die to ourselves and take hold of and rest in and find freedom in what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and that he knows everything about us and still loves us. And that's the kind of community a church is meant to be too. Is there something you've been defending about yourself for too long? Is there someone you've been fighting with for too many years? Is there some problem that you've got to let go of? You know it. The good news of the gospel says not only that we can, but that we must, but that it's also the way to move forward. In Christ, we die to whatever holds us back. And in Christ, we're invited to discover God's purpose in whatever might have been keeping us from moving forward. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, first thing to be said about this last part. Not everything is always crystal clear about God's purposes in our lives. That's important to remember. There are events in our lives. No matter how hard we might try, we may never be able to make any sense of them in our earthly life. And people who tell us that everything is always clear once you're a Christian, be wary. When people suggest Christians have some kind of a crystal ball, not just for our future, but to understand how every detail of our lives makes sense in the big picture, we're fooling ourselves and others. Oh, I love it when sometimes I can look back on my life, and you and I, you've had this too. You can look back on your life and say, this is exactly what needed to happen because that's how God led me to this place. I've had that, and you've had that too, I'm sure. But you've also, I have too, times where things have happened that you just can't make sense of. This is probably why Paul uses the words straining toward what is ahead. It's as if he's saying, I'm sticking my neck out here. I don't really know what's ahead. I don't know how this is all going to work out. But because of what Jesus has done for me, and because of what I can sense the way in which God is leading me, I trust him, and I'm willing to strain forward to what is ahead. And that's called faith. And that's Paul's public profession of faith. He too doesn't want to let the past rule his future. And like we already heard this morning, the best way to do this is by giving our lives over to God and his Son Jesus, trusting his Holy Spirit to guide. And expecting, anticipating, being excited about what God has in store for you, for me next, for us. And this is what Paul means when writing about the prize for which God is calling us heavenward. God has great things in store for us. How's God calling you heavenward? How are you straining toward what is ahead? Paul writes in the verse right after this, he says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things, which can tell us that our passage this morning from Philippians is also here to remind us that we are called to help others and each other to move forward in Christ. How are you doing at that? Are you helping people around you to deal with their past, or do you sometimes hold things against them? Are you in your own life helping to just let some things die? Or do you keep bringing up things that should be long forgotten, laid to rest? Are you helping others to discover God's future? Or do you hold people back? For ourselves and for others, the easier way is to not deal with the past or die to whatever holds us back, and to not discover God's future for us. It's actually easier that way. But here's the danger. When we live that way, our lives go on automatic pilot. And we get so zoned in on ourselves, and we don't even recognize that there's people around us. Or we might recognize them and we just say, well, they've got to pull up their own bootstraps and they've got to lie in the beds that they've made. But we all know that that kind of a life leads to more brokenness and it leads to more problems. The good news of the gospel is this: there's a way to move forward. Deal with it. Die to it and discover God's purpose in it. It's good news for yourself and for the people around you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.